evening, everybody. I would like to welcome you to our meeting and call to order our Reedley City Council meeting for Tuesday, August the 23rd, 2016. I will be presiding in the absence of Mayor Soleno, who has had knee surgery, but he's doing really well, and he should be back for our next meeting. Okay? Our invocation will be given by Pastor Neil Harris from the First United Methodist Church. And would you like to do the Pledge
yes.
of Allegiance? And the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilman Beck. Could we please stand?
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the blessing of the earth and the harvest. And we thank you for all those who work there and for what it does for this city. Lord, we pray for the students who are now returning back to school. We pray that they'll have a safe and achieve greatly academically. And we pray for this city and for its well-being. And we pray for the council, and we pray for wise decisions for all. And we thank you for all the many blessings you have bestowed on us. And we ask you that we would be faithful to care for one another and to bless one another. Amen.
Amen.
Please join the City Council in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I have roll call, please?
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Here.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Here.
Mayor Soleno has an excused absence. Mayor Pro Tem Betancourt?
Here. Okay, agenda approval. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
Mayor Pro Tem, there are no additions or deletions from staff. However, for the public who are here and for members of the council who are here, I would like to alert you all that when we get to items 13A and B, we have council members that will need to recuse themselves from the council chambers at that time, and that does include you as presiding officer of the council. When we get to item 13B, since that resolution does impact you, we'll ask for you to recuse yourself, and Scott Cross, our city attorney, will take over the proceedings for that particular item alone, simply 13B. And when we get there, we'll remind the public what we're doing.
Okay, thank you. So, do I hear a motion?
So motion. Move. Second.
Okay, this evening we're happy to have two presentations.
Take a roll call for the roll.
Oh, the roll call, I'm sorry.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Betancourt?
Yes. I was excited about our new police officers. So I'll turn it over to you, Chief. We have two presentations. This is our first one.
Good evening, Madam Mayor Pro Tem, members of the council, members of the community of Reedley. It's with great honor this evening that I get to introduce a couple of our new officers to you and to the community. Although they have been already on the job for about 3 weeks, first opportunity that we've had to introduce you to them. I want to first start by introducing you to Gerardo Serrano, right here. Gerardo is married. His wife is Sandy. They both live in Fresno. One of the things that's very good about Officer Serrano is that in the academy he was very proficient in firearms, and he was able to take home the top marksman award in the academy. So I do have my bodyguard over here. So that's a good thing. And then also, because in the academy, he was also able to score number two in the overall skills portion of the academy, which means that he was able to take all of the knowledge and all the training that he had over the course of the academy and being able to apply it in the scenarios, and he was able to score number two in his academy. He does live in Fresno. We're not going to hold that against him just at the moment. And he did attend Fresno City, which, again, I am not going to hold that against him, as I attended COS. And there's always a conflict there, but that's okay. We don't hold that against him. But it's with great pleasure that I get to introduce Gerardo Serrano. Next officer I get to introduce is Adam Ramirez, who is here. Adam is from Sanger, still lives in Sanger, and Adam comes from a tradition of law enforcement. His grandfather, Hank Ramirez Sr., is a retired detective from the Sanger Police Department. Long term, when Councilman Beck showed up, I introduced him to Adam and I said, you probably know his grandfather. And of course they did. They did work together back in the day. And then also Gerardo's uncle, Hank Ramirez Jr., is also a retired sergeant from the Fresno County Sheriff's Department. So obviously Adam's goal is to be a retired police officer as well, to kind of join in, you know, join the tradition that his grandfather and his uncle have set forward for him. So it is with great honor and pleasure that I get to introduce you to Adam Ramirez. City Council and members of the community, it's always a great pleasure, obviously, to introduce new officers, because this is really the folks that really put their lives on the line. These are the folks that have come to us and says, hey, I want to help protect your community. You know, it's one of those things, and President Bush once said this just shortly at one of, unfortunately, he was presiding over funerals in Texas, and he says, it's one thing to ask somebody to protect their family, which is easy, but it's another thing to ask them to protect a complete stranger. And they have really, really stepped up, and I really, truly appreciate that they are willing to step forward, put that uniform on, and put that badge on, and really represent this community. So I really look forward to seeing these two gentlemen succeed, get through our training programs, and hopefully we get to see them in about 2 or 3 months out in the field by themselves. So, City Council, it's a great pleasure again to introduce you to Officer Serrano and Officer Ramirez. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's exciting to have two new officers. Yes. Mm-hmm. Our next presentation is an introduction of Parks and Recreation Commission youth representatives, Karen Arakawa and Amber Carter. We'll have Sarah introduce them.
Good evening, Honorable City Council. Sarah Reed, Community Services Superintendent. It's my pleasure to bring forward the two youth reps that will serve with our Parks and Rec Commission for this year. We have Kieran Akawa and Amber Carter, and I'm going to give them the opportunity to tell you a little bit about themselves.
Good evening. My name is Kieran Arakawa, and I'm a senior at Reedley High School. And I've lived in Reedley since I was 3, and I'm really excited to serve as a youth representative on the Parks and Recreation Commission, because I get to give back to the community, which I really like doing. So thank you.
Good evening. My name is Amber Carter. I'm a senior at Emmanuel High School, and I am very excited for this position because it is an opportunity to be more involved in this city. I've lived here since I was born, and I haven't really been involved, and this is my chance to be involved and have an impact and represent the youth here.
Whenever we have people or young individuals apply for these positions, it always impresses me and the commission how involved these young people are. They're involved with clubs. Both of them work for the city. They do so much with their churches. And so when they say they're not involved, they are very involved with band and water polo and all kinds of stuff. So these two, I just look forward to working with them in a different capacity than being their supervisor, but actually working with them on projects that we have, special events. So it's with my pleasure to bring them aboard to serve with us this year. So thank you.
Okay.
Okay, if there are not any questions from the council or the public, we'll move on to public comment. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the city council on items of interest to the public within the council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any comments from the public? Hearing.
Yeah, I think you have one. Oh.
He was waving. He was waving. It's okay.
Careful, you buy something here.
Hearing none, then we'll move on to the agenda items. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss or to change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. So is there any item that the council or public wishes to remove?
I'd like to remove 5 and 12, please.
Okay, is there a motion to approve the remaining?
Motion.
Second.
Call for a vote.
Is there anyone in the public?
To? Is there anyone in the public that wishes to remove?
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Betancourt?
Yes. Okay, number 5, authorize and approve the city manager to execute agreement between the City of Reedley and Martin Chevrolet for a $0 lease purchase agreement for a 2016 Chevrolet Track utility vehicle to be utilized by the police department.
Good evening, members of the council. I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understood this. So Martin's is going to make all the payments on this vehicle, and we have to pay for the insurance.
That is correct.
When we get to the end of this contract, does this vehicle become ours then, or does it go back?
It goes back to Martin Chevrolet.
Okay. So we have it for 2 years then. That's very nice.
Yes, and just so that the council's aware, so it doesn't look like we're trying to do something and not give Martin's credit where credit is due, our intent was to put a vehicle wrap, which is logos and pictures, et cetera, on this vehicle, and then have this vehicle out in the community. We can't put the wrap on the vehicle until we have legal permission to do so, meaning we have the lease agreement. So we needed to bring that to council, but what we'd like to do is a full presentation to the public with the vehicle already wrapped. So it was our intent that we would take the lease agreement to council for approval, get the vehicle wrapped, and then bring it back to council for a full public presentation where we can really roll it out, have Mr. Martin's present, thank him publicly. So this will come back to council as a bigger to-do than this evening.
Is there any more questions from the public, council? Move to approve.
Second.
Call. Is there any questions from the public? Okay.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Betancourt?
Yes. Number 12, adopt resolution number 2016-077 to recertify the City of Reedley's sewer system management plan as required by the State of California Water Resources Control Board.
Yeah, good evening, Madam Mayor Pro Tem and Council. I'd be happy to answer any questions on item number 12 that you may have.
I apologize. I was out of town, so I didn't get to ask you this ahead of time. But on your report on the appendix, Appendix A is a picture of a map like this.
Correct.
And it shows all of the potential problem areas. I'm presuming that's for probably for grease and that type of stuff.
It is, and, right? And that map is based on our historical problem areas that we've. You'll see that most of them are around restaurants that potentially mm-hmm. have a lot of mm-hmm. grease and et cetera.
But I had a question. There's some hard lines or some darker lines on that map. Is that like your sewer lines? I didn't quite understand because it's kind of broken up.
Okay, yeah, those hard lines identify areas that we actually need to either upsize or do some changes in our pipeline. Some of this data is taken out of our utility master plan.
Oh, okay.
So those are, okay. are necessary upgrades. So I apologize, it is a little confusing because they do pull some of these maps out of our utility master plan and incorporate them into the update.
Okay. I think that's all that I had on this. I actually read through this whole thing. It was kind of interesting.
It's a lot of reading. Yeah.
I kept telling my family, oh, don't you want to learn about sewer management updates? They all told me no. So anyway, okay, thank you. That's all that I had, Russ.
Is there any more comments from the council? Any more comments or questions from the public? If not, can I hear a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bettencourt?
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to administrative business. Ordinances. With the respect to the approval of ordinances, the reading of the title thereto shall be deemed a motion to waive a reading of the complete ordinance, and unless there is a request by a council member that the ordinance be read in full, further reading of the ordinance shall be deemed waived by unanimous consent of the council. Number 13, adopt resolutions providing for the appointment of the city candidates for District 3 and District 5 of the City of Reedley, Part A.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. I'll go ahead and take it from here if you'd like. And what I will do is we'll walk through what we are doing this evening. We'll get to item A, and we will ask Mr. Beck to recuse himself once we get to item A. You can stay for just a minute as we walk through with the public what we're doing. He's so excited. And so we'll do item A, and then at that point in time, the city clerk will retrieve Councilmember Beck, and we will ask you to recuse yourself, and Scott will take over. Before I do, Mr. Smith, I see you sitting back there, so just so that you're aware, your item was approved, and you could stay for the rest of the fun evening if you wish, but I just wanted to let you know your item has been approved. So, and congratulations, by the way. We think you do a wonderful job out there. So, yes. So tonight we have a very unusual item before the council and the public. Under California election code and law, if there are no candidates opposing an incumbent or another candidate that's applied for city council seat, then the council can appoint the candidate that has applied for that role, and it serves several different beneficial purposes. Primarily, it saves the taxpayers a substantial amount of money in election fees, because otherwise we would go through the election with one candidate on the ballot. That candidate is assured of a win because they are the only candidate to be selected. So we will spend money on an election we do not need to have given that we know the outcome already, and that is why the law is in place and allows us to do what we're doing this evening. We have three candidates that are up for election this year. Two of them are running unopposed, and that is Councilmember Robert Beck and Councilmember Anita Betancourt. We've separated out these two district seats, council district seats, into two separate and distinct resolutions. So item A would be resolution number 2016-079, and if approved, that resolution will appoint Councilmember Beck to his seat beginning January 1st of 2017. And if item B is adopted, that's resolution 2016-080, it will appoint Councilmember Anita Betancourt to her seat for the January 1st term that begins. So at this point in time, I would say that if there are any council questions, we can still have the two of you on the dais as we ask questions and the council asks, or the public asks questions. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. So we have one district that we are having an election.
Yes.
Is the cost of having an election for three different than the cost of having an election
it's
for
per,
one?
I'm sorry. Did you want to respond to that, Ms. Clerk?
That is correct. There is a fee for each candidate that's on the ballot. So removing two candidates reduces the cost.
Okay. Thank you.
I did ask Brandy Orth, the Fresno County clerk. Mm-hmm. She couldn't give me the amount, but said it was a substantial amount of savings.
Interesting.
So that's why this is an important item for our taxpayers, because we're saving the taxpayers money by doing this.
And we have a very short window of opportunity.
Thank you.
Then I can recuse myself.
Well, let's see if there's any questions from the public first. Okay. Then I would ask Mr. Beck if you wouldn't mind removing yourself from the council chamber. And I'll turn it back over to you, Mayor Pro Tem.
Okay. So if there's no questions from the council or the public, so I call for a motion. Approve.
So move.
I'll second.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Betancourt?
Yes.
Okay, that item passes on a 3-0 vote, okay. Just to be clear to the public. City Clerk, if you can retrieve Mr. Beck. And at this point in time, Mayor Pro Tem, yes, sir.
I had a question before we move on to the next piece of this, I guess for you, Scott, but if there had only been like three council members here, could we have moved on this?
If there had only been three and one of them was the subject of the resolution, there are exceptions in the law that would allow for like it's called a rule of necessity. So if, and given the timeline, it's actually Friday is the absolute drop-dead deadline to get this done in order to get it to the county clerk. So we could probably...
So a majority could be two out of three present? Is that a majority?
Not for approval of a resolution or an ordinance. So technically, approval of a resolution or an ordinance requires three affirmative votes, so a majority of the council. So if only three of you were here, it would require a 3-0 vote. A 2-1 vote would not be considered approval in that instance. So, so yeah, there's some nuances to this, but yeah.
Thank you.
So Mayor Pro Tem, if you wouldn't mind recusing yourself from the chamber, and I will have the city attorney pick up the vote for the resolution.
So this is adoption of resolution 2016-080, which is the resolution basically to provide for the appointment of Anita Betancourt from District 5 and forego any election for District 5 on the November 8, 2016 ballot. So if there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Madam Clerk?
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Okay, and then that is approved 3-0. So that resolution does pass. And each of those resolutions will be forwarded to the county elections official. And so those two districts will not appear on the ballot in November, but the other district will appear on the ballot because there are two candidates running for that district.
Well, let me be the first to congratulate our new council members for 2017. Yay!
Okay. We'll go on to number 14. Second reading and adoption of ordinance number 2016-003, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Reedley amending various provisions of the City Municipal Code pertaining to public nuisances, graffiti abatement, and property maintenance standards. Okay, community development. Oh.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, members of the Council. Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. Just a brief summary, since this is the second reading, during the regular City Council meetings on May 10th and June 28th of 2016, the City Council and City staff participated in two workshops discussing this ordinance. The first reading of the ordinance was conducted on July 12th, 2016. Since the vote was not unanimous, the second reading must be brought back as a regular item instead of being on the consent calendar. So that's the reason we are here tonight. That concludes my report, and I'll be happy to answer any further questions you may have.
Any questions?
Well, I have 2 hours of questions. I will not put you through that again, but I think you can refer back to prior meetings to pick out the items that I was very concerned about. And there still is that one item on the graffiti abatement, I think should be, instead of 2 days, should be 3 days. But those are my comments.
And if I may, I'd like to make it very clear that no changes have been made from the first reading. So this ordinance is the same that was voted on previously.
Is based on what Councilwoman Fast just shared with council and the public, we can still modify that?
You can modify, but I believe...
That one thing, not the whole... We don't want to do 2 hours.
No, you...
That one
you
thing.
You would have to republish.
Well, yeah,
you'd have... What I'm saying is, like, I don't think... And if council's not disagrees, I can... But either the 2 or the 3 days not going to make that much difference. And I think Mr. Beck talked about that last time, a month ago, the last time that we met. So if... You know, that's going to be more palatable. I don't think 24 hours is going to kill us.
What would happen if we make a modification to a second reading is we would need to republish and go through the process again of a first reading and a second reading.
For the whole thing?
And
yes.
Actually, yeah. I mean, if you were to approve, if the majority of you approve a modification to the proposed ordinance now, we would consider tonight the first reading or introduction of this new ordinance as modified.
And then it would come back a second
time. And then it would have to come back at the next meeting. So basically, we call it three readings, but two first readings in essence. So this would be the first reading of any modified ordinance. It would have to be published. The summary would have to be published between now and the next meeting. And then the second reading or the adoption of the ordinance would be on the next agenda. And again, because there's only four of you, even if four of you voted in favor, it would still be an open item rather than a consent item because it wouldn't be unanimous.
Could everything that's on this be approved with the exception of that piece? And that come back as a second reading?
No, it's all, yeah, okay. It's all together. It's all part of the same ordinance, yeah.
I'll restate that in previous workshops and council meetings, staff has assured the public and the council that we will work with business owners. And so there are certain instances where if perhaps 48 hours doesn't work for a particular business because there's a specific reason, a business or a residence, I should say, let's say a resident was on vacation or something like that, we will work with them. The goal is to get the graffiti cleaned off, not to cite mm-hmm. somebody. So mm-hmm. we'll definitely work with them, even if it means going through the 72 hours rather than the 48. So.
The one question I would have is, this is 48 hours from notice, not 48 hours from when it was actually painted on there. If it hasn't been reported, isn't it 48 hours from reported time?
I believe the ordinance states they have 48 hours to remove the graffiti, and I don't think it's specific as to notice or time applied, but I would gather that somebody would be...
Wouldn't knowledge have to have some fact on that? I mean, if somebody didn't know about it.
Right.
So I think, but that's where city manager's coming in and saying we work with the the business or the residents, saying, like, for example, I think somebody gave an example last time. So what if they're out of town for 2 days, or the business owner is sick, or didn't come in that day for whatever reason, and now they don't know. But like you said, they discover it. Well, you know, working with them, saying, like, okay, so you're back, and we're letting you know that you have.
I think there's really going to be that 24 to 48 hour variance, if there's anything at all, because
really in the definition. What we have as language, graffiti or other defacing words and letters, etc., which remain in excess of 48 hours, become a public nuisance. So it's really the definition of when it becomes a public nuisance. If it's been on there less than 48 hours, we don't define it as such. Yeah. So that's what the 48 to 72.
Any more questions? Is there any questions or comments from the public? If not, do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
No.
Mayor Pro Tem Bettencourt?
Yes. Okay. Number 15, minutes of the regular Planning Commission meeting are there for information and reports, and then we'll have council reports. Start with you, Rick.
Just a few things. Maybe 3 weeks ago, again, our organization, the Knights of Columbus, we did a section of the trail. We did some cleanup. Hadn't been out there in a while because it's been real hot, but we had about 10 or 12 guys show up, and we did some work on that trail right there by Maxco, Danube Avenue, maybe a half a mile. So staff was good. I did call Chris Thomas, alerted him, and they were going to do their best to, because all we do is prune and rake, and we leave it out there. And sometimes staff gets complaints, and we get complaints. Why don't you guys haul it away? Well, they're not working on the weekend, you know, when they come in on Monday. And then sometimes it does stay out there, but it's like anything else. Graffiti, sometimes, you know, you get to one and try to get to the other one. But anyhow, we did that. The other thing is, I'm invited to a visit at the new educational complex, I want to say this right, for Kings County Unified School District. Special invite to certain community folks to give a tour, and I was impressed with it. Very nice. I think the strategy, as far as having everything on the first floor that will serve student services, is great, and then the rest of the stuff is on the second floor. And then that was on a Thursday, I believe, and then on a Friday they did have a bigger ceremony where they had lunch and speakers and stuff like that. So just, you know, commend the Kings County Unified staff for all their work and so forth. And also, I think, because this council also, we got behind, you know, bonds in the past, you know, to enable the district to get in a position to build some of these facilities. And then this way they had, if I recollect correctly, Juan Garza, the superintendent, said that particular building got paid out of general fund exclusively. So they didn't use bond money, taxpayer money, because, you know, when you do that, people kind of frown on it. You're building facilities for administrators versus kids are being shortchanged. So I thought they did a good job with that. So I commend them, you know, for their work and so forth. And also thank, you know, previous city councils and as well as ourselves for getting, especially that last bond that we got behind it. But it was a very nice luncheon, and they had some very good attendance and some key folks that were there, so I enjoyed it. But that's all I have. Thank you.
Councilman Fest.
I also attended the Kings Canyon Unified, I think it was a Rotary luncheon and tour. That's a beautiful facility. I was kind of concerned because it didn't seem like there were very many windows in that building, but the way they designed it and actually the offices do all have windows, so that was nice to see. It's a beautiful facility. And the staff was really gracious to give us a nice tour. And just to commend you on your work on the Rails to Trails.
It's not just me, it's a whole lot of guys that are well, getting out there. Yeah.
If you could share with your group that I really appreciate it. The areas that you did work on, man, they look very, very different. And I just had a commendation, and I wish I could remember the guy's name, but out at the sports park, I was out there with my grandkids a few weeks ago, and there was a gentleman out there cleaning the restrooms, and I came upon him, and I just talked to him briefly because that's what I do when I go out to places like that. I always look at the restrooms to make sure they're presentable, and I told him thank you for cleaning those, and he says, well, that's my job, and I want these to look like my restroom does at home, so that we, whoever comes out here and uses these facilities, I take personal ownership of it, and I was just very pleased to hear that. And I don't think he knew who I was, and I didn't tell him who I was. I just said thank you. So kudos to your staff, Russ, for keeping the facilities as clean as you can. And I know sometimes, you know, our public destroy things, but I've been pretty impressed in my tours of bathrooms. That's all I had.
Bob?
Had the July COG meeting. The only thing that come out of that is they're looking at trying to work on some kind of funding for roads, repairing roads within the county itself. It got off to a pretty rocky start, and I think what they're going to try to do is maybe send Tony out around to each city council and talk to the councils and give them an inside look at what they're trying to do with. They don't know if they're going to try to add it to Measure C and re-extend it, what they're trying to do. I voiced my concerns with adding tax funds because they're all concerned about the drop-off in the gas tax and everything. However, with that gas tax being in the general fund now, I'm afraid they'll look back at the cities and say, well, you're taking care of yourself, and we'll just pull more money from you. So it's kind of a hard thing to look at. But I think if he comes to each council, shows us what they're looking at, it might answer some questions regarding that. I do. I also attended the Kings Canyon Unified School District luncheon on Thursday and on the Friday ribbon cutting. I also remember what Councilman Rodriguez was saying, that they took the money to build that out of the general fund, did not use the bond proceeds. And I thought they did a nice touch on, especially on the ribbon cutting. They had Silas Barch's wife there. Mm-hmm. Oh. And Nadine was there, and he was one of the early members,
superintendent
of the Kings Canyon Unified School District. And obviously we have a school named after Mr. Barch too. So, and I thought that was pretty good of the to make sure they included mm-hmm. her in that. So other than that, that's all I have, man.
Okay. I also attended the ceremony and the luncheon, and I'm really excited. It adds to the downtown, but I can't wait to get the library too now.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be really nice. And so, okay, if there's nothing else, we'll have staff reports.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Just a few from me. One is I do want to formally introduce our two new department heads. I think Tony has had one council meeting under his belt. But we'll formally introduce him again. Tony Stewart, our new Community Development Director, and Gary Wadahira, our new Administrative Services Director. So if the two of you would please stand. And welcome to the council meetings. And I think Ms. Betancourt has set a new standard for timeline, so just remember this one. So anyways,
short meetings, vote for me.
We
they don't have to vote.
They don't have to vote now. go ahead and have a seat. These two gentlemen have jumped into the lion's den on some of our more sticky issues. So Tony has been jumping right in on our CID issues, our annexation issues, no rest for the wicked, so to speak, right? And then Gary has jumped in on personnel issues. We ran him through the gauntlet on some very in-depth dives with sales tax today and revenue sources down to the businesses, et cetera. And so we're enjoying seeing these gentlemen get involved right from the get-go. So I think they'll be wonderful additions to our staff over the long haul. And I mean long haul, gentlemen. Long haul. Okay. The other thing, Representative Nunez is holding a water forum on Wednesday, and I will be attending. His staff did call to make sure that cities would be in attendance. This is not a political forum. This is to discuss regulatory issues in D.C. and water regulations. So I will be attending. Unfortunately, we do have a ribbon cutting for our brand new business, Scott's Smoke and Barbecue. I hate to miss ribbon cuttings for new businesses because they're so critical to our city. So I do apologize in advance, but this is a fairly important forum to attend for us, so I will be there Wednesday. And then just a quick note, Chris McKenzie, Executive Director of the League of California Cities, announced today that he will be retiring this year. He has been the Executive Director of the League for, I believe, 15 years now, and he has done an exceptional job of keeping cities' priorities in the forefront in Sacramento. So they're going to have quite a tough time, I think, trying to replace him. As we get more information about his retirement plans, dates, and ceremonies, and all of that, I'll let you know, but I just thought I would pass on the announcement to you. I know we have several staff with some updates.
Thank you, Madam Mayor Pro Tem, council members. I just wanted to get up and as you all know and have seen, the Reed Avenue project has started phase one. We are starting a little bit later than we intended to, but some things were out of our control that delayed us. But it has started and they've moved forward and they're progressing really well. I'm very pleased to see the amount of work that they've gotten done out there over the last week and a half or so. And at this time, we're moving it forward. We expect that the paving and the majority of the project should be done by the middle of December, with it completing probably early January. But it's been moving forward, so I'm very happy to see it going. And the other one I wanted to announce to everybody is, you've seen Pioneer Park, the restroom blocks and timbers have been delivered, and they're starting to put it together now. So we are working to get it done prior to Fiestas. So I'll keep up to date on that, and just as long as everything goes well, which sometimes construction projects tend to have their own little ways of things. And so, but that's the intent, is to get that done at this time. So I wanted to make those announcements.
Great.
Yes, sir.
Is there any way that, or maybe you've done it already, that we could communicate community-wide? I know the information has been out there, but more explaining the position of the city, because there's still some folks, I don't know about my colleagues, but even today, two people, you know, said, like, what are you guys doing? I go, what do you mean? Why do you guys wait till school starts and the college starts? So they were very frustrated and very, and especially the parents that are picking up kids through football or this. And I go, well, and you could kick me if I respond. I say, well, we were set to go and we had a calendar. And we already knew that this was going to be the window. Unfortunately, you know, we had some hiccups, some snags, and that some of the discussions that we had with the railroad. I put on the railroad. Am I right?
You are correct.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, I wanted to, because I thought I had heard you say that a few months ago, like we're kind of working through it, and they were still having, I guess, some thoughts, or they had some questions in regard, you know, towards the city. So, but I guess what I'm saying is, if we could do something to kind of not give him an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's reality. That's what happened. We had a calendar. We were going to start here, and we felt, if I remember when you explained it, we would, it would be pretty tight, the window, but we were shooting for, you know, for it to be done at a lot earlier date, and now it's kind of dragged on, and for some people, I don't, you know, they're just frustrated. So I don't know what we can do to alleviate some of that frustration, but it would help. That's all I'm saying. It would help.
I completely agree. I've answered a number of emails already on a lot of concerned citizens, which I completely agree with and understand. Okay. I've also spoken with the exponent and just kind of explained what happened. And I don't know if John can say anything that might be coming out soon. I don't know, but he's going to put some of the explanations in there.
Yeah, and I'm making the rounds with the civic organizations. I've spoke to Rotary already to explain to them, and it was a packed group. It was roughly 55 folks, I believe, in there. To explain that we really had to thread the needle on this one. We had to expend construction dollars, at least start expending construction dollars by the end of August, or we risked having our funding taken away, and that's millions of dollars for that project. That's not something a little community like us can play with. So we had to thread the needle between getting authorization from the railroad and expending some dollars before the end of August so we didn't get funding taken away. And the truth is that we were ready to go the week that school got out. And I can't thank the school district enough for working with us, understanding what we were up against, and not complaining when we said, oh my goodness gracious, we've got to get started the week you start school. And they were right there with us, helping us figure out how to get the buses on. And the college, Sandy Caldwell, pulled me aside and said it did not create hassles for her starting college. And she was understanding as well. I will be speaking to Kiwanis within the next few weeks as well. I spoke to a representative of the Lions Club. And so we're trying to get out word as best we can without doing a shout across all of Reedley to blame it on the railroad. We're trying to get word out there that we do, in fact, understand the dilemma that we caused a lot of folks last week and how we started this project, but it truly was out of our control this time around. We've made mistakes, and we own up when we make mistakes. Unfortunately, this time around, there was just not much we could do. Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Although I told the staff the other day that I think John gets the award for least amount of sleep last week. He was here at 4 a.m. and stayed till 10 and just really, and I don't think he even slept when he got home because that's why we do what we do, John. Other staff updates. All right, I believe that is all, Mayor Pro Tem.
And so we'll go into closed session. And before we go, are there any comments from the public or council before we go into closed session? And I'll turn it over to our attorney.
Yeah, just for the record, the item on this evening's closed session is pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8. It's conference with real property negotiators. The APN is 365181-08T. Agency negotiators Nicole Ziva and Chief Garza. Negotiating party is Luciana Ventresca, and under negotiation is price and terms. Any discussion from the public on that? Okay, then we'll retire into closed session.
And that will be in my office.